Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. As you're turning there, a new pastor was visiting the homes of his congregation. At one house, it seemed obvious that someone was home, but no answer came to his repeated knocks at the door. Therefore, he took out a card and he wrote Revelation 3:20 on the back of it and stuck it in the door. When the offering was processed the following Sunday, he found that his card had been returned, and added to it was this message, Genesis 3:10. Reaching for his Bible to check out the citation, he broke up into giggles. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And Genesis 3:10 reads, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, for I was John in his pajamas, naked." Amen, amen. Mark chapter 4. Let's start reading at verse 1 this morning. "And again he began to teach by the sea," speaking of Jesus, "and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat, and he sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables." So kind of set the scene here this morning. We see that Jesus is teaching from his boat pulpit. He's pushed off, out to sea a little bit. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't mind having a little boat pulpit one of these Sundays. Amen. Go out maybe on Mary Elmer Lake or Sealy Lake and have a service. But anyhow, that's the scene. Jesus on a boat, kind of pushed out on his boat pulpit. The crowd had gathered on the narrow shore of the Sea of Galilee. If you've ever seen pictures of the Sea of Galilee, it doesn't have a huge shoreline before it butts up against some mountains. So the crowd was gathered on that very narrow shoreline, and it had grown so large that Jesus had to get into that boat. He had to push off from shore a little bit. And just kind of picture that scene in your head for just a moment. Put yourself in that crowd. You know, many sitting on the sand, right on the edge, dipping their feet in the cool water of the Sea of Galilee. Others backed off a little bit, using driftwood as a makeshift chair on the sand and on the beach. All had gathered in excited anticipation to hear what Jesus had to say on that day. Verse 2 tells us that he taught them many things by parables. Remember, parables are everyday experiences given to illustrate spiritual truths. Jesus was teaching those parables, those same parables that we read about and we went through and we studied in Matthew chapter 13. And as we found out in our study of parables, some that were gathered on the beach on that shore of Galilee, some of them would understand, others would not. Some of those truths would be revealed to those who had a true desire to want to know truth, but that some would be concealed to those who had no desire for truth. Those that were, you know, just there to criticize the Savior. So some would understand, others would not. It all depended on the condition of their heart. So let's skip down to verse 33. Mark, staying in Mark 4, but skip down to verse 33. "And with many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Now on the same day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took Jesus along in the boat that he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Rabbi, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Jesus had been teaching all day in the hot sun. Then we read here, as evening came, he invites his disciples. He said, let's cross over to the other side. Now remember, when I've been preaching and teaching, and last week we really reestablished that. When we read Scripture, we need to do three things, right? Look at the historical context. The actual historical context is Jesus with his disciples. Jesus invites them, let's cross over to the other side. What's the spiritual implication here? We need to understand that Jesus also invites all of us to cross over to the other side. He's talking about the other side of eternity. How do we take that? How do we apply that to our lives? And that's what we're going to do this morning. So Jesus, as evening came, he invites his disciples to cross over to the other side. Jesus settles in, and he lays down to take a little rest, take a little nap. And not long after, the Bible tells us here that a fierce windstorm begins to batter, and the waves come over the deck of the ship, and it starts to take on water. It batters the boat that they're in. And out of utter fear, the disciples wake Jesus, and they plead for their lives. They say, Rabbi, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And with a simple three-word command, the raging storm is calmed. Jesus simply looks at the storm, and he says, peace, be still. The waves immediately shrunk. The wind ceased, and a giant calm came over the water. And now we see one of the greatest questions ever asked. The disciples talked amongst themselves, and they whispered, "Who can this be?" And that's what I want us to think about this morning. Who can this be? In reality, let me tell you something. We can search the Bible for years after year, for year after year, and still not exhaust all that Jesus is. Amen? So get comfortable, whip out a Snickers. We're going to be here a while this morning. No, I'm just kidding. For lack of time, so we can get out of here sometime today, we're going to keep our study just here in Mark chapter 4. So let's consider, who can this be? First thing I want us to consider is that he is the one who invites us to come with him. Amen. Verse 35, Jesus said, "Let us cross over to the other side." Did you catch that two-letter word? Us. Amen. Let us cross over. That means together with him. Amen. Many today battle and struggle with loneliness. Listen, Jesus is the faithful one who will never leave us, who will never forsake us. He is with us forever if he is our Lord and our Savior. Amen? We need to understand that. So one other thing we need to understand is that this was a simple invitation. Let us cross over to the other side, but it's loaded with great promises. Amen? A simple invitation, but it's loaded with great promises. First promise was that his presence and his fellowship would be with us on that journey. Let us cross over together. We don't have to go it alone. Jesus has promised to be there on the journey. Amen? I think back to Exodus chapter 3 when God called Moses through that burning bush to go and stand before Pharaoh. Now we have to understand the magnitude of what God was asking Moses to do. Pharaoh was the most powerful man in the entire world in that day. And he called this man Moses to go stand before Pharaoh and demand to let his people go. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt at the time. They were slave laborers, free labor for Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And God calls Moses to stand before Pharaoh and demand to let his people go. If we go back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. But Moses said to God, this is Moses' reply. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Listen to God's response. So God said, "I will certainly be with you." Amen. Did you catch that there? "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Not only did God promise to be with us, but he also promises to remove all the obstacles out of our way. All those obstacles set in our path, he has promised to remove them all, and he will lead us to victory. Amen? He will lead us into our calling. Our job, simply be faithful. Amen? God calls us to simply be faithful in those little things. First step, we have to accept that invitation. Amen? First step in all of this is accepting that simple invitation that Jesus offers all of us. Let us cross over to the other side. Amen? Accept the invitation first, and then be faithful in the little things. God will take care of those big things. Amen? You know, we tend to get all tied up and worried about those big things. We don't need to. Our God is bigger than all those problems. All those obstacles. Our job is simply to be faithful in those little things, and he will take care of those big things. Amen? We talked about the invitation that Jesus gave. Simple invitation, but packed with promises. Thinking about the invitations that Jesus gives us, that Jesus offers us in Scripture, I want to concentrate on the top three. First one is in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11:28. Jesus offers us peace and rest. He said, "Come to me." That's an invitation. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Amen. You know, when we're younger, we don't appreciate rest, do we? But as we get older, let me tell you firsthand, well, I cherish rest every chance I can get it. Amen? As we get older, we appreciate it a lot more. But as sinners, apart from Jesus Christ, we are troubled creatures. Amen? We are just full of trouble. That's because we are absent from the peace and the rest that can only come with Jesus Christ. Amen? That only comes with his saving grace. Listen to how the Bible describes us. In Isaiah 57:20. "But the wicked, the unsaved, those who are apart from Jesus Christ, are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, where waters cast up mire and dirt." Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no peace and rest. Amen? Second invitation. Found in Mark chapter 1. That is the invitation to discipleship. Mark 1, skip down to verse 17. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.'" Amen. Once we are saved, we are called to share the gospel. Amen. We are called to witness. We're called to tell everybody what we found. It's one beggar telling another beggar where we found bread. Amen. And that is the bread from heaven, the manna from heaven, Jesus Christ himself. We are called to share the gospel. We've been pulled out of that miry clay so that we can become fishers of men. Matthew 6:20. Jesus said to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. You know, where your treasure is, so will your heart be also. What are the things that we treasure the most? What are the things that we, you know, keep from the thieves from coming in and stealing? What are the things that we protect from going bad? Those things that we spend all that time and energy on, that's where our heart is. You know, I heard on the way over this morning, it was just a little daily devotion. And the pastor talked about people hiding money in their homes underneath the mattress or in the cookie jar or in the cereal box. That's where their treasure is. They're hiding it from the thieves. They're worried about the thieves finding it. Amen. Listen, hide it in your bank. Go out and witness. That's where your treasure is. Amen. Third invitation, John chapter 15, verse 4. It's life with our Lord. Not just on this side, but Jesus invited us where? To cross over to the other side. Life with Christ forever. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Not only did Jesus promise to never leave us, to never forsake us, but he also promised that we will have all the comfort, all the security, all the care that we will ever, ever need. Amen? That's on this side and the other side of eternity. Psalm, the ninth Psalm. 91st Psalm, I'm sorry, Psalm 91, verses 10 and 11. "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." Amen. God has promised to keep us, to protect us, to care for us, to nurture us. Not only has he promised to be with us, but he has promised to take care of us along the way. Amen. Those are the top three, in my opinion, the top three promises that we have, the top three invitations that we have in Scripture. But as I said before, the first step in enjoying all of those promises is that we have to accept the first invitation to let us cross over to the other side, accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. So we looked at that first promise. The second promise is a safe passage on the journey. Not only would Jesus be with us, but he has promised a safe passage. Amen? That kind of goes hand in hand, doesn't it? It's kind of logic. If Jesus is going to be with us, then it's going to be safe. Amen? Jesus is Almighty God in the flesh. If he is with us, when he ascended to heaven, he left us his Holy Spirit to what? Abide in us. And if he's with us at all times, we can be rest assured we're going to have a safe passage. 2 Peter 2:9. "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust, the unsaved, under punishment for the day of judgment." 1 Thessalonians 5:9, talking about our future rapture. "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Friend, this is one of the key verses in all of Scripture that tells us we are a pre-tribulation rapture. "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation." Amen? Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? Plain and simply, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Amen. Friend, I don't know about you, but that's some pretty hefty promises that we have in Christ. Listen, no doubt we need to understand that the journey is not going to be perfect. The journey is not going to be all smooth roads and smooth sailing without troubles. But what is promised, if Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, we will have a safe passage to the other side. Amen. That's what we need to understand. That's what we need to cling on to. Third promise. Not only did we have the promise of His presence on the journey on this side, not only do we have the presence of His safety and security, safe passage on that journey, but we also have His promise and fellowship on the other side once we reach the other side. Not only is Jesus with us on the journey, but He has promised to be with us through eternity. Revelation 21:3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God." That is a glimpse of the new heaven in Revelation chapter 21. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Again, talking about the rapture. Then we who are alive, those Christians, those who have trusted in Christ, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together, raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And here's the key. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. How often?
Always.
What's always mean? Never ending. Never ceasing. We will always, forever, be with our Lord. And we need to be ever mindful. We need to be ever comforted by these promises. Here on this side of eternity, many times in our daily walk, we get weary. We get overwhelmed. We get overburdened, full of anxiety. But much of this is the result of our own decisions. Why? Because too often we choose to travel alone. Amen? We choose to travel alone. We don't say it, you know, audibly. We don't say it out loud, but we make decisions where we go it alone. We don't invite Jesus into that journey. I've got this. There's no reason to reach out to the Lord. No reason to pray before this decision. And in the end, it brings that heartache. It brings those extra burdens. We try to do too many things ourselves. And that's why we get weary. We need to accept His invitation and trust in His promises. Amen? Secondly, who can this be? He is the one who is with us in the storms of life. Going back to our original text. Verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. No doubt that must have been a pretty scary and dangerous storm. Amen. Waves, or the wind battering the boat, and the waves coming over the sides, and it starts to take on water. We can understand how fearful it must have been by their reaction. You know, they literally feared for their lives, didn't they? There's a good lesson in what we read here. First and foremost, we need to understand that storms will come even upon the saved. Amen? The Bible says that rain shall fall upon the just and the unjust, the saved and the unsaved. Storms will come upon all of us, even if we're a child of God. And maybe this morning you're going through a storm. Maybe you're in the middle of that storm. Maybe it's a financial storm or a physical storm or something in your marriage or in your relationship with your family. What you need to remember is that Jesus is there in that storm with you. Amen? That's the most important key. I know it's hard to see now, but we have to understand if a storm has come up in our life, then God has allowed it to be there, and He's allowed it to be there for a reason. Amen? God has a purpose for that storm in your life. You think of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a pillar of faith. Think of all the storms that he had to endure. Shipwrecked, beaten on multiple occasions, arrested, thrown in prison, snake bitten, over and over, storm after storm. God allowed those storms into his life. Why? To make him a better preacher of the gospel. Amen? To make him a better witness for Jesus Christ. To mold him into the image of our Lord and Savior. That's the same purpose that God has for all of us. There may be different storms that he allows in different lives, but the reason is all the same. He's trying to mold us into the image of his perfect and wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. We each have different areas in our life that God is working on, but the end result is always the same. When God measures us, he doesn't put the tape from foot to head. God puts the tape measure around our heart. Amen? When he measures us, he's measuring our heart. And we just need to have faith and know that Jesus Christ is right here with us through that storm. Third thing that we need to see here about who can this be? He is the one who is up to the task. Going back to our text. Storm came upon that ship, verse 38. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And the disciples awoke him and said to him, Rabbi, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? It'd been a long day for Jesus. He'd been preaching all day in that hot desert sun, and he had just settled in and he fell asleep on the stern of that boat. What we need to remember is that Jesus, in his earthly ministry, he was as much man as he was God, and he was as much God as he was man. Amen? He left his glory behind and took on human flesh. He understood. He went through what we go through. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest, speaking of Christ, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus experienced the same experience that we experience in the flesh. He endured the same fatigue. He endured the same heartaches, the hardships. He endured it all. He actually endured more than we will ever endure. Think of the suffering that he suffered before Calvary and on Calvary. Jesus endured the same hardships that we have endured. He was tested. He went through storm after storm after storm in his earthly ministry, and the Bible says he was yet without sin. Amen. Why is that so important for us? That's important because he was without sin. He and he alone can offer us redemption and forgiveness of our sins. Amen. He was the only substitute that could take our place on Calvary's cross. Because he endured the same temptations, he endured the same hardships, but yet he was without sin. He and he alone could be our substitute and take the punishment of sin for us. That's why those three little words are so important, yet without sin. And because of this, he can offer us mercy and grace to help us through our storms. He's walked in our shoes. He knows what we're going through. He knows our pain. He knows our hardships. He knows our heartaches. He knows those tears that are crawling down our face. He knows what caused them. And when we read here in Mark 4, no doubt Jesus was exhausted in the flesh. And he was sound asleep on the stern of that boat. But then we read verse 39. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still," and the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Even though he was absolutely exhausted in the flesh, he still maintained his deity and he was up to the task and he immediately responded to their prayer, to their cry, and he made the winds cease and that storm stopped. In the middle of their storm, they chose to seek Jesus. Did you see that? In the middle of the storm, those disciples, they chose to seek Jesus. Another good lesson that we can learn. Even though they had doubts, even though their faith was waning a bit, they still went to Christ, didn't they? In their time of need, in the middle of that storm, they went right to Christ. And what did they find? They realized that Jesus was there with them the whole time. Amen. Even though his physical body was tired, he never gave up his deity. His Almighty Spirit was present 24/7. He wasn't just there, but he was in complete control. His physical body may have been resting, but as deity, he knew exactly what was going on. That's why he asked them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Too often we see the storm instead of how big God is over top of that storm. Amen. No matter how big that storm is, Jesus is only a prayer away for all of us. In open mouth, all the disciples proclaimed, "Who can this be?" Plain and simply, it was none other than God in the flesh, our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the important question is, do you know him?